Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll discuss the latest no-hitter and a couple of promising lefties.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
This is Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Thursday, May 20th. I'm Al Melchior, and with me here is Michael Beller. And Michael, another day, another no-hitter. I know it's even that joke is growing stale because everybody's
No-hitters are getting to be embarrassing, I feel like, for Major League Baseball. Like, if I'm in the Major League Baseball League office, I am cheering against any more no-hitters the rest of the season.
Yeah, well,
it's just gotten to that point.
I'm not in the Major League front office, and I find myself rooting against. So I feel bad. I saw that no hitter was in progress last night, and I was rooting against it. And I mean, I've got Corey Kluber on a couple of teams. I like Corey Kluber. It's not good. It's not good. So we will talk about that and other standout performances on the mound and at the plate. But before we get to that, let's start with the latest news. Ketel Marte activated by the Diamondbacks, so we've been waiting for that one for a long time. Jacob deGrom is scheduled to make a rehab start at High A St. Lucie on Thursday. Of course, he's been out with a tight lower back. And then in more Mets news, as the Mets have dominated this part of the show in recent days and weeks, Taijuan Walker with that side issue, even though the test came back clean for him, he has gone on the injured list. The corresponding move was bringing up Cameron Maybin, who was recently acquired from the Cubs. He started on Wednesday, so filling out a lineup that's getting harder and harder for the Mets to fill out. And to add insult to injury or injury to injury, I'm not sure how to put this, but Pete Alonso did not play in that game on Wednesday at Atlanta due to a sore left wrist. So just a very, very depleted lineup, which, again, gives Cameron Maybin more of a chance to be a part of it going forward. Michael Pineda is now on the injured list with a thigh abscess. In other Twins rotation news, Kenta Maeda is expected to start this weekend. That was in question due to a groin injury. And Alex Kirilov started a rehab assignment with AAA St. Paul on Wednesday. And Michael, that feels weird to say AAA St. Paul because I'm still used to that being an independent team. But of course, the fantasy relevance there is that Alex Kirilov is working his way back from that wrist injury. JT Realmuto's hand is visibly swollen as a result of a bone bruise. Still no plans to go on the IL, although it seems like maybe a little bit of a replay of the Didi Gregorius situation where he was day-to-day for, I think it was 5 days, and then eventually did go on the IL with a backdated start date. So I don't know if that's going to be in the cards for JT Realmuto, but that is his current status. The Giants activated Donovan Solano. The Rays put Luis Patino on the IL with a finger laceration, so hopefully that is not a long stint for him. And Dylan Moore to the injured list with a calf strain. So, Michael, let's move on from all that injury news to the latest no-hitter, Corey Kluber, against the Rangers. And yeah, a lot of no-hitters, but you know, it's all against the same teams, Rangers, Cleveland, and Mariners. So this one is the second no-hitter against the Rangers this year. 9 strikeouts for Kluber, 1 walk. I mean, Kluber's just been really good lately. So I know, you know, with a couple of the no-hitter achievers so far, that there's been, you know, a little bit of, you know, I don't know, consternation about the weakening of, or the dilution of the no-hitter. But in this case, I don't think there's anything to question here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's really the takeaway here. I think we can buy the bounce back. I think we can buy the cosmetic stats. Basically, at face value, it's been a really impressive season for him in a year the Yankees have really needed it in the rotation.
So at this point, in your estimation, has Corey Kluber just moved beyond any concern for matchups, and he's just you know, plug and play in the rotation every week?
I think probably. I mean, of course, there's going to be some bad starts in there, but I do think he's moved past that concern where I'll trot him out there. He would have to have a couple of bad starts in a row before I thought about sitting him in a tough spot.
All right. And even though Corey Kluber rightfully does get the spotlight on this list of standouts, a couple of other really notable pitching performances. Trevor Rogers, he's just been really solid. Yeah. Really solid for the Marlins this year. Another great start. And at Philadelphia. So a lot of times when we talk about matchups, that's one that I think, you know, all three of us, you and I and Derek Van Riper, we get a little scared of, you know, just because of the park. But Rogers going 7 2/3 deep in this one. Just 1 run on 5 hits and 2 walks with 8 strikeouts. And an achievement for him based on those 8 strikeouts. This is from Will Manso of Channel 10 in Miami. He tweeted after this game, quite the stat courtesy of the Marlins. Trevor Rogers now has 104 strikeouts through his first 16 career starts, and in the live ball era, only Francisco Liriano, Al Downing, Fernando Valenzuela, and Herb Score have had more Ks by a lefty in their first 16 starts. So, yeah, I think it's just time if you know, we haven't gotten there already, to just give Rogers that must-start status.
Oh, absolutely. Without question. That's an impressive company. And there are plenty of lefties who jump right to mind who aren't on that list. So very, just another great start from Trevor Rogers. He is easily, I think he was already in that group, as you said, Al. This is a guy who you are starting no matter what, every single time he takes the ball. And really, I think that the best is yet to come from him. Been very consistent this year, a blip or two here or there, but I want this guy on every team going forward.
All right, going to be hard to do right now, but
I'm not saying you can do it. I'm just saying I hope I already have it.
For sure. Now, it might be possible with Turk Skubal, another lefty who pitched nicely on Wednesday at Seattle. So, you know, one of those no-hit victims. Not a no-hitter in this one, but only 4 hits in 5 innings against Skubal. 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, 2 runs allowed. Nice start by him. And he's still giving up too many home runs, but if you look at his May starts versus his April starts, there's clearly dramatic improvement there for Skubal. So I'm not quite ready to declare him must start, but I would certainly say must add if he's out there.
Yeah, I think so too. And you can live with the homers if he's giving you all the rest of what he's giving you. We could maybe work in a nickname there, Improval for Skubal. You know, it's I like the way that sounds. But either way, I agree. Definitely a must add if he's sitting out there.
Yeah, yeah. Unintentional creation of a nickname there, but
those are the best ones.
It is. Usually they are. Let's go to the hitters. Even though the pitchers took the biggest headlines in this the slate of games, some notable hitting performances too. Couple of 2-homer games to talk about. Trey Mancini and Randy Arozarena. Mancini clubbing a couple homers against the Rays. He's now up to 9 on the season. Arozarena up to 6. And also, you know, they doubled as well in these games, both of them. Mancini, I just think it's been a great story for him this year. And somebody that, again, is, I think, pretty close to must start. Arozarena is a little bit tougher. I'm not sure at this point what to make of him. I was sort of on the verge of kind of just really giving up on viewing him the way I viewed him coming into the season. And I wasn't necessarily, you know, the highest person on him to begin with.
I still feel pretty decent about him. I mean, one thing that you've been able to take all season, even as the power just flat out hasn't been there, and the extra bases have, you know, gone almost entirely away. I mean, he had, what, 3 extra base hits in that game yesterday. Before that, he had 8 all season. So, I mean, we're talking about a guy who really hasn't given you any sort of extra base power. But he's been getting on base. His OBP's been sitting right around 350 once it's settled into, you know, he had a fair amount of plate appearances. So he's always had that going for him this season. Tampa Bay has him in the lineup every single day. They have him hitting in the top of the lineup every single day. I still feel pretty decent about him. Obviously, it's been a slow start. It's been a frustrating start. No matter draft, auction, whatever, he has not lived anywhere up to expectations. But I feel decent about him, and hopefully this is a sign of him breaking out in the power and extra base hit department.
All right. And also extra base hits for Yuli Gurriel and Colton Wong. On Wednesday, a couple of doubles for both of them. They're both on really robust doubles paces. Gurriel's sort of interesting to me because he's hitting for average. He's just been really a great contributor in fantasy. And yet I'm not really seeing anything very different in the skill profile. So for those who have been enjoying it, it's hard to let go of a player that's produced well for you. But is it time to shop him around?
I think you could definitely shop him around, but you know, we saw this from him in 2019 when he went 298, 343, 541. You know, you go back the year before, 291, just a 323 OBP and 428 slug. The year before that, 299, 332, 486. So, you know, 396, 555, that's over his head almost certainly, but, you know, it's over a lot of guys' heads. So I think that, you know, of course, shop him around, yes. But am I trying to trade him? Am I thinking, oh my God, the bottom's falling out? No. And this Houston offense has been right there with the White Sox, the two best offenses in baseball so far this season. So the environment is great, and that doesn't seem like it's going to change. No matter what, Yuli Gurriel is going to be in a strong run-scoring, run-producing environment with that Houston lineup. And that's something to take into consideration as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, while I say there's not big changes in the profile, that's really in terms of results. He has been much more selective this year, so maybe there is something to it. All right, let's move on to the streamers for Thursday. A lot of interesting options here. I'm just going to talk right through these, Michael, and then you can just talk about who you're moved to talk about. So Rich Hill and Dean Kramer going to face off against each other in that Rays Orioles tilt. We've got Luis Garcia going for the Astros at Oakland. We've got Alex Cobb going against the Twins at home. Griffin Canning in doubleheader going against the Twins as well. Drew Smyly versus Pittsburgh, nice matchup there. Dane Dunning against the Yankees, and Joe Ross at the Cubs.
You know, the guy who jumps out at me is Rich Hill, pretty much by far. I feel as though he should maybe even be a guy who's kept around. He's had a couple of straight good ones. You go back 3 starts ago and just 3 innings, but 3 shutout innings against Houston. Last two, 6 shutout against Oakland, 6 2/3 shutout against the Yankees. The one before that Houston start, 6 innings, 2 runs, 10 Ks, another start against Oakland. So Rich Hill's on a nice little run here. I think he's the guy who jumps out the most and definitely not afraid of that matchup with Baltimore. Next on the list for me would be Luis Garcia. There's, you know, hasn't pitched super deep into games, but his last 3 games, Dusty Baker's let him go more than 90 pitches in all 3. So the strikeouts, the walks, that's going to run up the pitch count without necessarily getting deep into the game, but it seems like the kid gloves are off Luis Garcia. I'd be my number 1, Rich Hill, my number 2, Luis Garcia. If I can't get either of them, I might sit out of the streaming game today.
All right. I'm a little surprised about Griffin Canning, but
I've finally broken up with him. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I can't do the up and down. I can't do the push and pull. I'm done, man. I quit Griffin Canning cold turkey right now.
All right. Well, fair enough. Yeah, we do have to change with the times here. So let's take a look at a few players who are up and a few who are down in our weekly stock watch. Up is Gavin Lux. And part of this, you know, is just an unfortunate side effect of, you know, Corey Seager being out and his playing time being solidified. Mm-hmm. But entering Wednesday's game, over basically a 2-week period, he had put up a 333, 391, 548 slash line. So poised to take advantage of that playing time and coming into this weekend with a hot bat. And Jordan Lyles, this one really surprised me, Michael, looking at some leaderboards and seeing Lyles appearing on some of them. His last three starts, a 3.38 ERA, 19 strikeouts over 16 innings, also with 8 walks, which isn't great, but it hasn't really hurt him because he's only given up 1 home run and a 14.7% swinging strike rate over those three starts. And by the way, the matchups, not a total cakewalk, Twins, Giants, and Yankees. So, looks sort of legit, at least for this short run.
Yeah, he does. I'm not buying in, but hey, if you have been buying in and riding in these three starts, then good for you. But, we've just seen too much. And, if we're indexing this to pitcher performance so far this season, these numbers don't jump out quite as much as they would have in previous years. So, Jordan Lyles, cool, but I'm not in for the future. Gavin Lux, I am in for the future, and he could maybe take advantage of all these injuries in the Dodgers lineup, maybe get himself moved up in the lineup. He's been hitting in the bottom half, the bottom third, for most of the season, at least since he got off to a sort of a slow run there and got injured. So maybe he can get himself back into the top half, or at least consideration for the top half of the lineup. Obviously tough with a loaded lineup like that, but no matter what, this is the sort of production we expected from him. I'm definitely buying into this 2-week bounce we've seen.
All right. Yeah. Well-timed for Gavin Lux. And on the downside of the stock watch, Nate Lowe, who got off to a great start this year. So the overall numbers still look pretty good, but he is now 1 for his last 22, including 3 outs he made in that no-hitter against Corey Kluber. And Christian Javier. Month of May has not been all that kind to him. 5.40 ERA. Now he's still getting the strikeouts, 27 strikeouts and 23 and a third, 9 walks. So, a pretty good ratio there. But it's the home runs, 7 home runs over 23 and a third innings in the month of May, and a fly ball rate that is approaching 60%. That's pretty dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And hey, we've seen it, Al. 7 home runs in the 23 1/3 innings. We've seen just how dangerous it can be in practice. So, not guys who I'm sounding the alarm bells on because of these recent performances. Almost everyone's going to go through some stretch where they have a down couple of weeks. So just keep your eye on it. Hopefully things turn around for both of them. I'm still trusting the talent to win out for these guys in the long run.
All right. Well, some thoughts for you to take with you for this Thursday. And that's going to be all for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you do have an opportunity to rate and review this podcast, we do greatly appreciate that. So for Michael Beller, I'm Al Melchior, and we will return here on Friday.